Okay, folks, many foreigners coming for the first time to this country are sometimes surprised, even disappointed, when they realize the Spanish they learn back home, for example, with Mexican teachers in the US or Spanish teachers in the UK, is very, very different to what they can hear around in the streets of Buenos Aires, Córdoba, Salta, Paraná, you name it, both in words used and in the sound, in the pronunciation. Regular listeners of this program will know that I many times struggle to translate concepts, terms, expressions, words, which are unique to the way Argentines speak Spanish. And you certainly can't find those on Google Translate. Fortunately, if you're coming over here, there is a bilingual dictionary that specifically focuses on our Argentine Spanish. Of course, it's also perfect for Argentines who want to truly convey their thoughts and feelings with their own words. Looking up, for example, for a frutilla rather than a fresa, if they want to say strawberry in English. The book's called The Persicos Lexical Companion to Argentine Spanish. And I've got its writer down the line, Joseph Persico, who's in California. Hello, Joseph. Thank you for this.
Hi, Fernando. Thank you for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to having this conversation because this kind of content is an important part of my program, of our station, which basically links Argentina to foreigners around the world. Why don't you start by telling me about you and Argentina? How do they come together?
Well, in 1997, I was back in California after studying in Spain. And I was at my college, my university, and studying to become an English teacher. And that year I met a friend, he became a friend, but his name was Nacho, and he was from Paraná, Entre Ríos.
Yes.
And he eventually, 3 years later, he said, come to Argentina, I got you a job teaching.
This is the year?
Well, I met him in 97 in California, and then in 2000, I moved to Argentina.
Well, that's a key year to come over here.
Yes.
And your background, what do you study? What's your field of expertise?
Well, I studied Spanish literature.
Okay.
And then I got a certificate to teach English as a second language. Mm-hmm. But I am an amateur lexicographer. Mm-hmm. So I'm an amateur lexicographer. And since it's a bilingual dictionary, I also call myself an amateur translator.
Okay. And before coming to Argentina for the first time, during your times as a student of Spanish literature, did you read Argentine works, Argentine writers such as Borges, Cortázar, for example? Were you familiar with Argentina as a part of the Spanish-speaking world?
Yes, we had to read, not a lot, but some Borges, Cortázar, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what's the story behind writing the lexical companion specifically? And does it focus only on Buenos Aires Spanish? Or, well, you live in Paraná, which is in Entre Ríos province, or it includes, well, Cordobés Spanish or Salteño Spanish, Santiagueño?
Mm-hmm. Well, the dictionary is called Persico's Lexical Companion to Argentine Spanish. And then the subtitle is Diccionario Bilingüe del Español Porteño.
Ah, okay.
But okay. Really I consider just the main title the important part because, I would say more than 80% of the words in the dictionary, more than 80% are used or recognized around the country, around Argentina.
Absolutely. Yeah. But as Porteño words, I must clarify.
Yeah, but again, I didn't put
some of them.
Yeah. Yes. Where are you? Where are you located in Buenos Aires?
Yeah. I always clarify this because I am a Porteño myself, and I always very careful not to say that some Argentine words, some words that I define as Argentine are entirely Argentine, because well, you lived in the rest of outside Buenos Aires, and there are sometimes hard feelings regarding this, no?
Yes, 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 there is. But that's normal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it happens in anywhere in the tension between the capital and other parts of any country. But an interview that I read before talking to you states that 60% of your lexical companion's content cannot be found on the conventional Oxford Spanish Dictionary. My question is Argentine Spanish very unique within the Spanish-speaking world? I mean, does it have those many unique terms and words? I know that you've been to Spain, to Mexico, you travel through various Spanish-speaking countries. Are we that unique, or is just an impression in terms of a way that we speak?
Probably just an impression. The okay. issue, yeah, the issue is Oxford or whoever cannot include every word from every country. So they give, you know, some words from Argentina. Of the many regionalisms in Argentina, they include some. Of the many regionalisms in Mexico, they include some. Of the many regionalisms from Spain, they include some. So every country has its own regional uses. In Spanish and English, of course.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. Okay, well. And I read that you did a lot of work. I mean, several years, I mean, reading books and magazines. And not only that, you also took in a lot of pop culture, I assume, to because it's not only translating words, you have to translate full concepts, a whole culture into one word. It's a very challenging thing to do.
Yes, translating is not a lot of fun.
Okay, tell me about it.
Have you done translating yourself?
Well, I do kind of for this kind of job. I mean, every week I translate the news from Spanish into English, and right. sometimes I have to introduce, I mean, to present songs, tango songs, which are filled with lunfardo, slang words. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I struggle a lot to translate yeah. words like, I don't know, heel, for example.
Yeah, yeah. That's in the dictionary. That's in my dictionary.
Which, by the way, what does it mean? I
believe that I'm not 100% sure. I don't always remember, but I believe I put fool.
Yeah, yeah. And gullible. I'll always translate that. It can mean also gullible.
Yes, yes, yes.
So how long did it take to put together the dictionary?
Over 15 years, 13 that I was in Argentina, plus a couple more here in California.
Mm-hmm. And did you focus on, have you used all of the words that are used and that were used and are no longer used, or only the way people talk now? Because many of the words in tango lyrics are no longer used. They are part of lunfardo, but you can't hear those in the street.
No. Only contemporary words.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's useful. I mean, you can apply what you get.
Incredibly useful, both for tourists. Well, for tourists too, but more for foreigners in Argentina studying Spanish, and also especially for Argentines studying English and Argentine teachers of English and translators.
What are the in your opinion, the top five or top three or couple most useful Argentine words or expressions for beginners in the country? I mean, you come to Argentina and you need to learn a few words.
Hmm.
Which are those? Which are key?
For a foreigner?
Yeah, for a foreigner, for an English speaker coming here.
I don't know. What do you think? Maybe colectivo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you've got the case of boludo, the most polysemic word in our... In Spanish of Argentina, in my opinion, what can you say about that? I mean, how many meanings does boludo have?
Oh, a lot, because you know it's a noun, it's an adjective, and then as a noun, it has it obviously can mean a stupid person, or it could be used as a vocative to talk to a friend,
like dude, like hey man, come over here,
exactly
in a friendly way, yeah,
yeah. So yes, it's got quite a lot of uses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a key word. What about trucho? I read that you struggled to translate that.
Yes, that was a pain. because through to a flood. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It means fake, or is there any other way? I mean, I was confused by that.
Well, you can apply trucho to many things, right? You can have bichete, right? Can you have a bichete trucho? No.
Yeah, a counterfeit.
Right. In that case, you would call it fake. It could be a fake bill, a counterfeit bill, but you have taxis truchos. What else?
Yeah. Trucho CD, trucho DVD, I mean, which right. are not genuine.
Right.
Counterfeit. Bootleg. Yeah.
So it collocates with a lot of things.
Gotcha. And what about the other way around? I mean, are there many expressions and words, or which are some expressions and words in English, which are very difficult or impossible to translate into Spanish?
Well, I would have to get back to you on that. I have not thought about that part. But yeah, there's, you know, I always say that almost everything is translatable, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't do it with one word. Sometimes you need a sentence, or you need the whole context to get the idea across. For example, Japa.
Mm-hmm. Japa. How do you translate Japa? That's a great word.
Well, I believe in the dictionary, I put a few. So what Oxford does, the Oxford Spanish English Dictionary, if there is not one word equivalent, they will put the word into context and then translate the context. Mm-hmm. So si te dan la chapa, you might, in English, say they threw in, use the phrasal verb, they threw in one.
They threw in, yeah. It's a bonus. I mean, you get an extra. When you would go to the ice cream parlor, or when I was a kid, they don't do that anymore. Ice cream is a lot more expensive now, but they would give you some japa, some extra ice cream on top of what you had paid for.
Yeah, not anymore, though.
Definitely not. Japa is just a word in our memories. It doesn't apply in reality anymore.
Yes, only among friends.
What about, can I shoot some random words that I've got here on a list?
Sure.
It's okay if you don't remember. The expression, en el horno.
Mm. So what am I supposed to tell you what I put in English?
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember what I put. I should have the dictionary next to me, I probably put in trouble or up shit Greek. Sorry to be vulgar. Yeah.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I mean, we were trying to translate the full concept. In the oven means, I mean, it's not just in trouble. I mean, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, deep trouble.
Deep trouble.
Yes.
What about pijotero? Familiar with that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's cheap, stingy, cheapskate. Yeah,
exactly. And cholulo?
Cholulo is... cholulo, I don't remember what I put, but probably a fan of the stars, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's somebody who's more, I mean, it's obsessed with people famous. Yeah, who sees somebody who's famous... And can help themselves from, I mean,
yes.
Staring.
Yes.
Or, I mean, talking to them.
Or worse, yes.
Or worse, or stalking. Another question. More and more people in the U.S., I'm aware that there are more and more Spanish speakers in the U.S., immigrants, people of Latin backgrounds, learners of Spanish as a second language. What's their reaction to an Argentine accent, to an Argentine Spanish? I mean, if I'm Argentine and I move to the U.S., would you recommend me to just drop the voz and say llave instead of llave to be understood quickly, faster?
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. My friend, so I still remember this story, my friend Nacho from Paraná, he told me one time, many years ago, that when he was studying English here in California, one time he went to McDonald's and he didn't speak a lot of English. So he asked if anybody spoke Spanish. So I don't know. They went to get somebody that spoke Spanish, probably from Mexico. And the guy said to Nacho, he said, he didn't say vos, but he said, pero no hablas español. Bueno, estás hablando español.
Exactly. That's my point. Yeah. So it's understandable when many Argentines move to the US or to Spain and they just adapt and start talking the same tú sabes, tú tienes, rather than vos sabes or vos tenés, which is the way we speak.
Yes. Although in Central America, they use vos as well.
That's true. That's right. I mean, that's not exclusive to Argentina. Yeah. I mean, what about exclusive characteristics of the Argentine Spanish from your research? Is it the pronunciation of the Y, the double L?
Yes, very problematic.
That's a very problematic, you said?
Problematic for foreigners, Spanish speakers, or, you know, because when I got to Argentina, I couldn't tell if macho was marzo, you know? I didn't know what macho was. I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly, the month.
Month.
Yeah, exactly. So, another, in my experience talking to foreigners coming here, they also had trouble pronouncing the S, the sound S, before a C, as in fly, mosca, mosca, because it's like a, I was told it's like a German, ach.
Yes. Yeah, the aspirated, I think it's an aspirated S, which comes from the south of Spain, I believe.
A more general question, I mean, as a bilingual person, as a truly bilingual person, can you give me in a nutshell how you compare Spanish and English in general? There are pros and cons?
Well,
speaking both.
Many years ago, I taught a seminar for English teachers and translators, but most of the people were English teachers, and a significant part of the seminar was comparing both languages and their similarities, because they really are, have an overwhelming amount of things in common, you know.
Really?
One example is, you know, in Spain, they like to use he ido, has ido, han ido. And in England, it's also much more common to use the present perfect.
Yes. But there is no subjunctive in English.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Oh, yeah, there are differences, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there is a subjunctive, but it's almost dead.
Oh, yeah, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, technically, I guess the subjunctive in English would be if I were and not if I was. Mm-hmm. But even Oxford, I believe, now says that they are fine with both if I was and if I were.
I love in English I've got this feeling that English has got a tendency, it asks to be more concise. Mm-hmm. When you it sounds better if you're concise, if you get to the point. Whereas in Spanish, if you want to sound good, you need to add more words.
Yeah, quite possibly. Sometimes that seems to happen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know.
Okay.
That also may be for historical reasons, a greater need. There was a greater need in the Spanish speaking world to embellish things historical reasons. But now I think the Spanish speaking world is also becoming equalitarian, more egalitarian.
Yeah, I get you.
What
do you think about, I mean, do you see, I mean, both languages kind of merging into something new in the future, or has it already happened in the US with the English speakers?
No, because since we have the printing press for the best, you know, 600 years or whatever, and mass media and schooling, you know, public schools, public education for the whole nation. So that really curtailed dialectal variation. I think there's less and less dialectal variation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, final, some obvious but necessary questions. What do you miss, not miss from Argentina after living so many years here?
What do I miss?
Yeah, what do you miss? What do you miss and what you don't miss? You can say that also.
Well, What do I miss? Besides people, friends, of course.
Of course, yeah.
I was always very fond of spring and autumn, or spring and fall days, both in Paraná and in Buenos Aires.
Absolutely lovely seasons, yeah.
Those two seasons.
Autumn, yeah, especially.
Yeah, yeah. And then something I could live without were... you know, it was always difficult. The relationship between men and women, dating, very difficult situation. You know,
a lot in of Argentina.
Histericismo.
Okay. Yeah.
You know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Loads of, I mean, very long courting processes and not a lot of direct dialogue.
Yes.
I get you. Did you become an hincha of a club, of a football club?
No, sir.
Really?
I like baseball. Yeah, I like baseball.
You can't say that you support a single Argentine team.
I support the national team. I love to watch the World Cup.
Okay, but you can't say you're a Boca Racing fan. Nothing.
No. Just the national team.
Okay. Finally, Joseph, is a dictionary available for e-readers? Where can people find more about it?
Yes, you can download it on Amazon for Kindle. And in Argentina, there are many bookstores, English language bookstores. There are many English language bookstores, Estari in Buenos Aires, Advice in Paraná, Santa Fe, Yeli in San Pedro de Jujuy. There's a lot of, if you go to my Facebook profile, which is Joseph Persico or Joseph Persico 2, you'll see a list of bookstores, or on my Instagram. I invite everybody to follow me on Instagram or Facebook. On Instagram, I am at Lexical Companion. And you also, if you hunt around, you'll find a list of bookstores in Argentina that have it.
Excellent. Joseph, you're in California. Whereabouts? You teach there?
I am in California, 1 hour north of San Francisco, so northern, what we call Northern California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're teaching at some university. What are you doing there?
No, I'm no longer a teacher. I taught English for many years in Argentina and Mexico, and then in California, I was teaching Spanish at a high school for about 4 years, but I am no longer teaching.
Okay. Well, Joseph, thank you very much for this. Hope you're well. Are you coming back to visit us after the pandemic's over?
Do
you get vaccinated?
Yes, sir. I've been vaccinated, but we got to get the numbers down.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Now, that's the situation we need in Argentina. Thank you very much for this. Joseph, all the best.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you, Fernando. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too. That was Joseph Persico, the author of the Persico's Lexical Companion to Argentine Spanish on Rai Argentina to the World.